Blog Talk Radio.
Greeting, welcome, Bert. Well, we've been covering the Jesuit connection to the founders and framers of the United States government. This is a real sensitive nerve, especially in America, because of the false history that's been put forth. It boils down to this. I just had a little discussion, just got off the phone not too long ago with a fellow in South Africa. The same thing is going on all over the world. And my co-host tonight, I have two co-hosts, Wayne Michaels from North Carolina, and I have York Glassman from Belgium. I'd like to just start a three-way conversation here on this history that we're covering. And I've learned this over the last year. History and the Jesuits are hooked together like love and marriage. You can't have one without the other. And in other words, when you're out in the secular world, when you ask somebody, what do you know about the Jesuits? You will find it very common that people don't know anything about it. When they tell you that, that means, and if I'm talking to somebody that's listening tonight and you don't know anything about the Jesuits, that means that you don't have a very deep background in history. Nothing against you. It has nothing to do with our personalities. But if you know history, you're going to understand the Jesuits. So anyway, I'm just going to open up the comment and have any comments. York, why don't you start off with and give us a comment, what I just led into there.
Yeah, thank you, Wolf, for the opportunity tonight to come on here. You said when you go on the street and you ask people about the Jesuits, what can they say? Lame propaganda. Well, they are doing charity and they are full of the light of God and they're doing all good things and all this stuff. Even if people know what Jesuits are, most people do not know who the Jesuits are. And why is that? That is because the last few generations that are roaming the earth right now are so far away from God like no other generation ever before has been. We have been born into a kind of a matrix, into a kind of a system that was spun there for us to distract us from everything but from the truth, you know? all kinds of entertainment is good. All kinds of indoctrination is good. It starts, for example, I live in Belgium, and when kids are 2.5 years old, and sorry to say kids, I don't like the term kids because that's what goats have as children. We have children, we people, so when that's also a term that they really like to use us because we are just cattle for them. But when the children are 2.5 years old, they are being given into daycare and education, the preschool and all that stuff, and from 6 years on they are in the first grade. And they are being indoctrinated wisdom, knowledge, let's say, that they only need to function in the hamster wheel that they put us in all day. So think about it. Think about what you have been through in your life. Think about what your friends and your neighbors and your family has been through in their lives. Most of the people, I think, have had more or less the same life. They were born, they had a few years of little freedom before they went to school, and it was always school, and afterwards it was homework, and then it was just learning to get just good grades. It was not important what you learned. The most important thing was that at the moment the test was taken, that you could give the right answers, and then you could get an A, a B, and a C, and then you get some kind of reward, whether from family or from somebody else. Today it's probably like a new iPhone or whatever that you just get as a reward for having known the right answers, but that doesn't mean that you know anything. And when you're out from school, then you go into your work life and you choose a profession that you think is good for you, and that you like, okay, you do this, and you are getting the idea of having a freedom, because you might buy a car when you have the money, and you might take a plane to go somewhere on their vacation, and that's the idea of freedom that they give you. But real freedom is something that you don't have. And the point is that when you're working, then you're coming home at night because you're done with it, and then you just go relax a little bit in front of the television, or television, I maybe should say. It should be better pronounced, because out of that box never something true came out of it. And I'd like to advise our listeners maybe to watch a movie that is from 1976. You can watch it online. You just have to look it up. The movie is called Network. Network. Just look it up. It's a great movie where there is a rant from a guy who tells you just what the television is for, and that they are so proud of that there are now already generations that have been raised without knowing anything else but the stupid little box that is in their living room and indoctrinating them with all they want to tell us from morning to evening, you know? So when in the evening your work is done, you get home, you go and you watch television, and you watch the so-called news. I think it's very important that you maybe listen a little bit better to the words they say. It's often it's already announced as a news show. So it's a show. It isn't even news anymore. It's a show. And when you see this fancy woman and these model men that are dressed there as actors and try to sell you the so-called news, well, you should really be aware of it. Who is the gainer of that thing that you know already? They present you everything that you do not have to think about it anymore. You don't even have to chew. You just have to take a spoon and take all the information in, and that's it. That you are doubting something, that you try to think for yourself, is absolutely not wanted by anybody. So then you go to sleep, and the next day you go back to work, and when you're done with working, you maybe have a few years of pension, and in the meantime, you have already very brave all year paid your taxes. I mean, are you okay with paying the government money that they can go to war to kill people that you have never even heard of, that you don't know of? Is that your idea of freedom? Is that your idea of a life? When after all these, let's say, well, okay, you come on and you live 70 years or 80 years, and you have worked all life, and then and you have had a family, and then you die, and you think that's all. There's much more to life than that, and that is what they hide from us. That is what they take from us. The education that God gave us is what they took from us. The whole belief they took from us, and they did that very, very smart, because they organized all religion. So when they organize all religion and they infiltrate all religion, they can tell you whatever they want, and that's just what they do. And in the end, you will not even recognize it, that all these belief systems are actually one and the same. So in America, they say they are Christians, and they say we have to fight the Muslims because they did 9/11, whatever. I don't go into that right now, because then this quarter hour that we have, three quarter of an hour that we have, is much too short. But they tell you that we have to fight the Muslims, but then you have to look at the doctrines of the Catholic Church, and then you have to look at the doctrines of the Muslims, of the Quran, and you will see that there are many things that are just the same. And then you will also see that when you really dig into Catholicism, that Catholicism has nothing to do with Christianity, and that is actually the sun worship and the 666 worship, and going back to the old Greek, Egyptian, and Babylonian policy. And that is what they keep us busy with. And when you think you're living in America and the president says you have to go to war, therefore, and you do that because you are a patriot, you're not a patriot, you're just an idiot, because you're not fighting a war for your country, you're fighting a crusade for the Pope of Rome. And, well, when I say that then you are just an idiot, I don't mean that disrespectful, but I mean that you really have to try to educate yourself, to get to know all these things, because people are just being abused. They are abused all day long by their governments. Because one thing is for sure, they never, are people who want the war. It's always governments who want the war. People don't start wars. They never have. Think about that for one time.
Yes. Well, in other words, the title of this broadcast tonight is The Jesuit Connection to John Adams. And, you know, we've been covering the Jesuit connection with all the framers. It might sound a little bit strong. It might sound a little bit strong, but that's the reason why, like York was talking about the mechanics of how they got us thinking. Today is Sunday, and in this country there's probably 30 coliseums that are full of 80 to 100,000 people. And, you know, they're flying jets over them, got their hand on their hearts, and they're preoccupied. And anyway, listen, Wayne, give us a little comment on why we don't know history.
Well, it's been hidden from us, Walter, and thank you for having me on your show also. It's been hidden from us. It's covered. They've taken the books out of the libraries. Anybody that's put the truth out here within the last 50 years, the Jesuits removed that. R. Joseph, America Betrayed, is a prime example. The book was awesome. It exposed everything of the Bush family all the way back to his true Nazi bloodline that he is. They're not American. And, you know, they pulled these books off the shelves 6 months later, you know, and you couldn't purchase one. And they're very thorough in covering their tracks. You know, I despise what they are, but I know their father that leads them, who I despise even more, has them blinded too, you see. They think they're going to fly around, play harps up there, and sing Kumbaya. It's not going to happen. With what York said, he gave a beautiful explanation, absolutely beautiful. You know, I look at the children out here today. They can't even communicate amongst themselves. There's no communication. They got these little boxes in their hands, and their mind is in that box. And if you even talk at them and look at them, their eyes, it's like there's no life there. It's like they're dead. You're talking to a shell. It's sad. It's just beyond words. I mean, you know, I did a broadcast yesterday, and after we had fellowship, and I actually wept over these things. And, you know, it breaks my heart that these people are so indoctrinated, so lost. And these people behind all this, they think it's just so hilarious and amusing. You know, and that's really the spirit that's controlling this earth is to have everybody in rebellion against God, to forget God, to get the Bible out of here. There is no truth. You know, God said he would send a great delusion to those because they had not the love of the truth, that they might all be damned. 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 8. Read it for yourself. He asked, would he find faith when the Son of Man comes again? I mean, look around you. The atheist movement right now created by the Jesuits is just like overwhelming and overtaking this earth. And it's just incredible. It's incredible. To me, it's sickening. And this is why we do this show. But you see, most people just think, you know, all you talk about Jesuit. Nobody take it serious enough to do any research themselves. None get spurred to move, to even look up anything, to try to find out what we're teaching is true or not. I've invited you all to sit here and call me on the phone. My number's there. I'm not in hiding. You know, I'm not out here trying to hide somewhere. If you can't reach me, contact me. What kind of reality is that? That ain't reality. We got websites. Prove us wrong. That's all I can ask. Prove us wrong. Do your research. See if I'm lying to you. You're supposed to check the scriptures daily. Well, the Bible is necessary, but I'll tell you what, if you don't know history, how do you know your enemy? And they're deceiving the whole world at the same time. Every country out here we communicate with, they're under the same blanket. You know, and religion is all man-made. Politics is driven by religion. which is driven by greed for the love of money and power over people. And like you said, you're cattle. You're goyim, you know. You're lower than dogs. And they have no love for you. And if they did love you, would they be going to church on Sunday, the day of the sun? The first day of the week? No, they would be keeping God's seventh-day Sabbath holy, staying home as we're commanded. But they won't study these things because they don't love him nor life. So I'm done. Thank you, Walter.
Well, listen, as we comment here, now anybody can break in here, but I'm going to just kind of give a little introduction. We're going to play a 12-minute tape by Chris Pinto, the producer of The Hidden Faith of the Founding Fathers. A very good it's very good documentary. And see, we're covering something that people don't want to touch. And I've said this before, there's a whole army in this country that consider the framers and the founders as Christian.
Right.
You know, and John Adams, you know, just a little bit about John Adams elevates the occult Masonic God of reason over the Word of God while denying the supernatural and the Word of God in the Bible at the same time. But the main thing when we listen to this 12-minute excerpt is understand why we connect John Adams with the Jesuits. See, well, how are we making this connection? It's because of Voltaire and Voltairism. And when we play this, this 12-minute audio, listen very carefully on what Voltaire was teaching. And all our framers were under the influence of the Enlightenment and Voltairism. This is where we get the connection. So I'm going to play this right now. And as we play this, Yerk and Wayne, jot down some little notes as we're playing this that we'll comment on the end. So
let me say one thing before you play this. We discussed this real quickly as we started before we went on air. There were six key issues that came out of the Enlightenment, American Enlightenment movement, because, you know, there was France Enlightenment, where this originated, Voltaire, Jesuit. You know, there was deism, liberalism, republicanism, conservatism, toleration, and scientific progress. Now, all these things are against God. I don't care how you slice it, how you dice it, how you look at it, how you cook it, it's all against God, every bit of this. And what it does, it created what they call social contract thinking, and which that is, in short and sweet, is you give away your natural God-given freedoms and rights to give control to these people who claim to be government, who claim to be for the people, by the people. But, you know, it's all about self, and like he says, it's the Vatican and the Jesuit order, because now the Jesuit order controls the Vatican. So thank you, Walter.
And that's undeniable because the Pope is a Jesuit. A year ago, that was not the case. And it's getting, I think, more a little uncomfortable for some of the enemy when they realize that there's a few of us out here, you see, that are educated. We
yes.
understand fully what they're doing.
Yes.
And I'm going to start this, and then you guys write down some notes, and we'll make some comments afterwards. So here goes.
John Adams was America's second president and first vice president. He worked with Thomas Jefferson in helping to draft the Declaration of Independence. While it does not appear that Adams was a member of any secret group, he was a Unitarian and shared views against Christianity, much like the other revolutionaries. John Adams is often portrayed, in fact, I have friends of mine who are Christians, who will tell you that Adams was a Christian man. And Adams, there are a number of quotes from Adams where he talks about
Christian principles and so on, and how he believes that it was Christian principles that brought about the founding of the United States.
But Adams did not mean that the United States was founded on Christian principles alone, but rather on a mix of Christian and pagan philosophies. He said, "These are what are called revolution principles. They are the principles of Aristotle and Plato, the principles of nature and eternal reason." Adams wrote that the general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. In favor of these general principles, in philosophy, religion, and government, I could fill sheets of quotations from Rousseau and Voltaire. Adams' reference to Rousseau and Voltaire is strange, to say the least, since these two Enlightenment thinkers were both well known for their anti-Christian views. Voltaire, in particular, wanted the end of Christianity. He wrote that Christianity is the most ridiculous, the most absurd, and bloody religion that has ever infected the world. He also said, "It took 12 ignorant fishermen to establish Christianity. I will show the world how one Frenchman can destroy it." By combining the principles of Christianity with Voltaire, it is as though Adams is saying that the general principles of the founding of America were both the principles of God and the devil at the same time. With this in mind, consider that Adams once wrote to Thomas Jefferson, "I should have given my reason for rejoicing in Voltaire and company. It is because I believe they have done more to propagate religious liberty than Calvin or Luther." Voltaire and Rousseau were so closely associated with the American founders that they are shown in this image beside Benjamin Franklin, as if they all represented the same ideals. But when men like Voltaire spoke about liberty, the freedom they wanted was to be free from Christianity. Is it possible that such a view influenced men like John Adams? The answer largely depends on how you define Christianity.
If you study the founding fathers and the Enlightenment thinkers of this era, it's important to pay attention to the word religion. Okay? Because the word religion to them has to do with a framework of morality. When they say religion, they don't mean what we would mean today as Bible-believing Christians in the world today. What they mean by religion is just a system of conduct, really. They don't mean the testimony that Jesus is the Son of God and so on.
And so, for men like John Adams, the Christian religion did not mean the gospel. Even in his lifetime, Adams himself knew full well that his doctrinal views were rejected by Orthodox Christians. He said to them, famously, "Ye will say, I am no Christian. I say, ye are no Christians." And there, the account is balanced. As said before, Adams was a Unitarian, and the Unitarian belief specifically rejects the doctrine of the Christian Trinity, the idea of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Adams wrote that the Pythagorean as well as the Platonic philosophers probably concurred in the fabrication of the Christian Trinity. Furthermore, Adams did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God, or that he was God manifest in the flesh. He said, "The Europeans are all deeply tainted with prejudices, which they can never get rid of. They are all infected with creeds and confessions of faith. They all believe that great principle which has produced this boundless universe came down to this little ball to be spit upon by Jews. And until this awful blasphemy is got rid of, there never will be any liberal science in the world." The reason Adams rejected the doctrine that Jesus is God was because of his view that God is unknowable, and therefore for the Bible to say that the person of God was revealed in Jesus Christ was to him an awful blasphemy. Adams wrote to Jefferson that when we say God is a spirit, we know what we mean. Let us be content, therefore, to believe him to be a spirit, that is, an essence that we know nothing of. But where did Adams get his belief? The pagan origin of his faith was revealed by him in a letter to Thomas Jefferson, where he made reference to an allegedly 5,000-year-old Indian book, the Shasta, the first book of Brahman theology. He said, "Where is to be found theology more orthodox or philosophy more profound than in the introduction to the Shasta? God is one, creator of all, universal sphere. Search not the essence and the nature of the eternal who is one. Your research will be vain and presumptuous. The eternal willed to communicate of his essence and of his splendor to beings capable of perceiving it. The eternal willed, and he created Burma, Vishnu, and Sib. These doctrines, Adam says, sublime, if ever there were any sublime, Pythagoras learned in India." In contrast to Adam's belief that God cannot be known, in the Bible, Jesus said, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." In Hosea, God says, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." And while Adam Shasta says it is vain to seek God, Jesus said, "Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." It was during the presidency of John Adams that the much-debated Treaty of Tripoli was signed. The treaty bears, perhaps, the most contrary statement against the idea of the United States as a Christian nation.
And the Treaty of Tripoli is, I think, the clearest declaration that the original founders of the United States of America did not believe that they were setting forth a Christian nation. Why? Because they specifically said so in this treaty. And what you have are patriots, diehard patriots, who will try to spin the Treaty of Tripoli and somehow or other state that it doesn't mean what it says. But there's no, if you read the entire treaty, there's no reason for them to come right out and say that the government of the United States of America is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion. There's no reason to say that if they don't mean it. So they declare this, and according to the history, it was unanimously agreed to on the floor of the Senate. Now, why was it unanimously agreed to? The question, of course, is, well, wait a minute, where were all the Christian founders to leap to their feet and to lift up a shout against this treaty once they heard it? You would think that there would be at least one Christian who would have jumped up and said something. The answer seems to come from a Christian man named Dr. Byrd Wilson. And Byrd Wilson was somebody who had spent years of his life investigating the faith of the Founding Fathers.
In a famously controversial sermon he preached in 1831, Dr. Wilson said, "The founders of our nation were nearly all infidels. When the war was over, the Constitution was framed and God was neglected. He was not merely forgotten. He was absolutely voted out of the Constitution. The proceedings, as published by Thompson, the Secretary, show that the question was gravely debated whether God should be in the Constitution or not. and after a solemn debate, he was deliberately voted out of it. Dr. Wilson went on to say that those who have been called to administer the government have not been men making any public profession of Christianity.
And he's saying this in the early part of the 19th century. It's important to remember, not all of the Christians, you know, when the American Revolution happened, the impression of many church leaders was not that this was a Christian revolution. The impression of many leaders was not that the revolutionaries were Christians who were somehow or other following the example of Jesus and the apostles by launching this revolution.
The absence of Christians in the early American government would explain why no one objected to Article 11 of the Treaty of Tripoli. Yet while this treaty was confirmed under President John Adams, the origin of Article 11 may represent the unkindest cut of all. According to 19th century historian Moncure D. Conway, the controversial Article 11 was drafted by none other than George Washington. Conway said, "President Washington, the first time he ever came in treaty with a non-Christian people, Tripoli, sent to the Senate a treaty which opened with the following: as the government of the United States of America is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion." There is the statement, Conway says, from the great Washington. The Treaty of Tripoli was drafted toward the end of Washington's presidency and then confirmed under John Adams. If Washington himself authored Article 11, it would further explain why no one would dare to question it.
Excuse me, I my mic was muted.
For I find it utterly amazing that so many people in this country are under such denial, thinking that George Washington was what they call Christian. It absolutely astounds me. They've swallowed the bait, hook, line, and sinker. And people to teach these things, shame on them. Shame on them. Because the scripture says if you put a little leaven in the mix, brother, you ruin the lump. 99% truth and 1% lie, you still got a lie. So these people that are deliberately doing these things, deliberately now, shame on them.
Yes, it is. It kind of takes your breath away when you really look at the hard facts. There's even an atheist out there that has a website. Not going to advertise her website, but, you know, the secular world, when anybody that does any kind of a research will tell you that there is nothing Christian about these framers.
Right.
And the early church leaders have brought this out in their writings, that these men were not Christian. In other words, that we have a whole army of patriots out here that consider the revolution, what you might say, a righteous act, a Christian motive for launching the revolution, and it's just not true.
No, not at all.
The same people that launched the American Revolution, in 1789, when we became officially a country,
correct,
they launched the French Revolution, and it was the same people.
Yep.
It was the Jesuits,
yes,
that
sir,
were supposed to be suppressed.
Yeah, they supposedly just were destroyed in 1773, But during that time, the Black Pope Richie came over here through the Vatican rat lines, as we know today, and created the Declaration of Independence with
six other
Jesuits. I'm sorry?
There's a whole chapter in Tupper Saucy's book that covers how they put the Constitution together and how, you see, in other words, there was infighting. Don't ever think that there wasn't, I mean, that they didn't have to infiltrate. They had to, but there was quite a battle from 1776 to 1789. Yeah. But
that's an amazing.
The truth of it is, how do we know that the freedom of religion is a Jesuit document? It's a Jesuit idea. Is all we have to do is look into history. And see, they tried to pass it in 1688 in England with the Declaration of Indulgence.
Yeah.
And what they were unable to do in 1688 in England, they were successful in 1776 by launching the Declaration of Independence.
Well, Freedom brother, of religion, all you got to do, you know, this comes from France. We know about the Freemasonry lodge over there, Franklin and the whole deal, Voltaire and the whole nine. Looking in New York Harbor, what sits there that everybody idolizes and worships and think it's so grand? The Statue of Liberty. But whose liberty is it? Their liberty over us. That's what that represents. It ain't our liberty and freedoms. It's their liberty to control us.
Isn't it Semiramis?
Yeah, it's Mithraism, brother. That's what Rome has always worshipped, sun worship, Mithraism. That's what the seven rays of light around emanating around her head's all about.
And that's right in the harbor for everybody to see. And if that's
and,
not
and,
enough,
and,
you can
and
go
look to... and look at the base that thing sits on. Look at the base. I'm not even going to tell you. Look at the base that is sitting upon. That's what I want you all to do. Somebody out here that has an interest. Look at the base that thing sits on. You can find it. It's easy. It's out there.
In other broadcasts, we're going to bring up some of the occultic symbology. And one of the biggest ones, once you fully understand the obelisk, you can't look past the obelisk. If you can't see the obelisk and understand we have men like David Barton and I, because we're going to have another broadcast on next week's broadcast. It's going to finish this series with the Hidden Faith of the Founding Fathers, but we're going to cover David Barton. And in other words, when you cover David Barton, you cover the whole army of Americans that whip up the flags and beat their chest and say that, yep. Just understand that we're talking, there's a secular world out here that doesn't, the secular world
doesn't know any of this.
They don't know any of this. I mean, we're right. Talking and speaking to the children of God, to God's
yes,
children.
Absolutely. You know, in the book, The Stars, Stripes, and Our Flag is a good one also about how Richie set up the Declaration of Independence, staging his death and the disbanding of the Jesuits to resurface 3 years later. And from 1776 to 1789, when this country became a nation, there's that magical number again, Brother Walter, 13.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere you look, that number is everywhere.
May I just say something here?
Please.
Sure.
Yeah, you asked him to take some notes of this little movie that he said. And, you know, I watched the whole documentary some time ago, and then I wrote some things down that I wanted to mention when we had this broadcast. And today this thing came on. That's a quote of John Adams. Philosophical reason must override the word of God where the word of God is in disagreement with the understanding of a natural man. that is one of the quotes that I took from the documentary. And you have to know that John Adams, like in the part that Chris Pinto was telling us, was connected to Rousseau and Voltaire, were anti-Christian. And Voltaire states, and that's also from that movie, it took 12 ignorant fishermen to establish Christianity, and I will show the world how it only will take one Frenchman to destroy it.
Yep.
I mean, if that is not blatantly in your face to tell you what these founding fathers, between brackets please, are up to, then I don't know. And there's another interesting quote that I found that was not stated in here, but that is supposed to come whether from John Adams or from Lafayette, General Lafayette. Quote, "It is my opinion that if the liberals of the countries, the United States of America that is, are destroyed, it would happen by Roman Catholic Jesuit priests, for the liberals are to the Jesuits the largest religious enemies and traitors. They, the Jesuits, have caused most of the wars in Europe." End quote.
Yep.
Yes.
I mean, all these things are, and that is the problem, you know. All these things are out in the open. Everyone can research this. Everybody can go into libraries and look at old books and study history. But
they
are too busy watching television, you know.
Nobody cares.
And one last interesting thing that I found in this documentary that he said, John Adams was not only the second president of the United States, but he was also the first vice president.
Yep.
Why
right.
do I find that very intriguing? Because we know that in nowadays, and probably it was all along, the vice president was always the guy who had the power, not the president.
That's right. That's right. That's just like Biden
when you see
runs
that
this
today,
country behind the scenes.
Yeah, when you see that today, you have Biden who has a Jesuit.
He's a Jesuit priest.
University.
And
he's a Jesuit.
And what the people don't know, what they won't search, but they don't know, it ain't a religion. The Jesuits aren't religious in any way. It's a militant arm. It's a militant army.
This country was founded
for the reason to be, Revelation 13, to be the militant arm of Rome, forcing everybody to take the chip.
Let me just mention one thing that I really have to get out, you know. One thing, we had a time ago, we had this Diane Reedy, this house stenographer that stood up in the house and had a rant about God will not be mocked. And if America was a Christian nation, the Constitution would not have been written by Freemasons and all that stuff that she said. Most important of all is the time that video got viral, and even in the mainstream media it got viral, there was always this picture of the Congress. And in the back of the speaker podium where she stood, there are left on the right, there are two Roman fascist power symbols, so-called fascis.
Right.
And they are the same. They are the same when you go to the Lincoln Memorial, where Lincoln rests his arm right and left, also on two fascis.
Yep.
It's
same thing.
Open. So if anybody says something,
and you are
about
all that's
this
on my website too,
it,
if people would
about,
take a look.
Yeah, of course. It's about conspiracy theory. It's not a theory. It's blatantly open in your face. You just don't have the eyes to see it because you are not educated to see it, and that's just what they want. And then you just
you know the whole world's under an illusion here.
Yeah,
it's under an illusion. The whole world is.
Yeah. Well, okay,
TV,
man, we have
iPad, iPhones, you know, all of it. They're hypnotized.
Yeah.
It's like you say, no matter how much education they haven't learned anything. All they know is numbers. That's all they know is numbers. What good is it?
Well, conspiracy theories are only for people who are living in a theory.
Yeah.
Who don't do research. For those, it is theory. For everybody who does research, it is a fact.
Good point. Well, listen, we got about 30 seconds. I want to say this. We have a broadcast here every Sunday with all three of us. Mike's got a broadcast that I host on Saturday. And during the week, Wednesday or Thursday, Jurk Glisman in Belgium has a broadcast. So, and on this broadcast, it's all three of us, and at times it'll be all three of us. But there's three different times of the month of the week that you can listen to us. So, thanks for visiting. God bless, and we'll catch you later.